Northeast Champaign is in fact the black community. It did not happen there by chance. It was designed as wherever there is a university, there's a poor community. The community was there to provide services. But what's important, what is the important thing of this community to you and to this university? The most important thing is that it provides you the area practicum where you can learn to be what you want to be, and that's important. Many students since 1967 coming here to the university to pursue some form of discipline has somewhat lost, you know, the true association to the value of the black community. We do not look at the black community as in fact a learning experience. The greatest value that it provides you is a learning experience, not only in the context that this is where live people are living, but in the actuality, these are where your people are living, the people that you must work with throughout America, throughout this whole world. And whatever is going on in that black community provides you the opportunity to test your ideas, to put forth new conclusions, to evaluate them, and to begin to develop a type of sophistication that is needed as a means of helping black people. In the context of Champaign and Urbana, the black community of Champaign and Urbana, I feel, because I live there, there's a great deal of sophistication. There's a great deal of practical wealth of knowledge that is going on there. The obligation is, in fact, to the student to understand this and to use this community to his ends as well as to the ends of the community. As black people, we must realize what is, in fact, to the advantage of the white student is not necessarily an academic or social advantage to us. And I think we have kind of lost ourselves in that context. A practical experience from the College of Education in an integrated school in Northeast Champaign is not the same as practical experience for a black student attempting to acquire a degree in education. The reasons are very simple. You are black, the children are black, the questions are different. The white student is sent there simply because of the fact that he needs the practicum. He needs to substantiate the actual working in the classroom. Although you may be sent there by the same institution, the types of questions that you must consider, the types of evaluations that you must make are different, simply because I think that you must be concerned with the total educational needs of black people. Therefore, your purposes are in many cases different from the student who will be sitting on the other side of you. And we sometimes lose sight on that simply because the black community does not have the powers to communicate its needs. It does not have the powers to communicate the types of academic and social advantages that it will present to the student body. You can reverse this situation, a white student. If we were talking about Southwest Virginia and we were dealing with an all-white Appalachian community, the white student has the same burden. You know, being that we're talking about a black community, the emphasis is here. And the emphasis is here not simply because you're here, because I do believe that we as black people are desperately in a struggle, and the obligation is equally upon you as well as upon myself. There's no advantage to be a student. It's a hard life. But because you are a student, that means that a learning process is taking place, and you are obligated to fulfill that learning process. So when we think of Northeast Champaign, you should think of it only as a learning process. What can you learn from it if you're a student of engineering, civil engineering? What can you learn from the black community if you're a student of commerce? What can you learn from the black community if you're trying to obtain a degree in social work, sociology, psychology, mathematics, or any of the disciplines that this college offers you? What are the problems that black people are entertaining in the urban cities in which you live? What problems are your community facing, which are the same problems that are being faced in a community in which you're attending the school? This is your practicum. These are the things that you must consider. Anything, whether it be through your own volition, volition of your instructor, your peers, that prevent you from seeing the black community in that perspective, you're defeating your ultimate goal, and that ultimate goal is to be educated, to know your people, to understand them, and to use the tools that you're being learned, that you're learning here, to best use them. Now, how does a student do this? You know, a black student, and to do this in the context in which he's aiding and abetting the total goal of the community, as well as aiding and abetting his own goal. I think we must look at many of the social and cultural problems in which black students and black people have. The black community assumed in 1967, as it participated in the CIOP program, that we were all alike. That the brother in Chicago basically had the same principle and needs and desires as the brother in Northeast Champaign. The brother in St. Louis, Philadelphia, New York, and all of the cities and states in which the black kids from this university represented, that we had something in common, something more than simply the color of our skins, but a desperate desire to be free and to use a type of sophistication in which we had never used before. We assumed that. And I think, and as all of us know as individuals, these are the types of assumptions that we should never make about people, regardless of our similarities culturally, our similarities in skin color. Because of that, the types of challenges that the black community placed upon the student body, the black student repelled, simply because he was taken from a ghetto and brought to a highly middle-class university. And in many cases, this was foreign, this was new, and the brother had not ridded himself of the basic methods and schemes of survival in that ghetto. So what was being asked of him from the black community, he had not reached that level. He had not reached the level of the types of sophistication and the types of mythology required that he can successfully assist that black community in understanding its problems and at the same time learning. So what we had a confrontation. A confrontation, and many of you individually or collectively may have felt that confrontation. But that's no different than in Chicago. That's no different than the Peystone Rangers and the Warlords. That's no different between the polarization of the north side and the south side of Chicago. That's no different than in Philadelphia. That's no different than what exists in Chicago. Champaign, the black student, the University of Illinois, is not an atypical situation. What has affected you, what is affecting the black community, is going on in every community where there are black students, in every community where there's a university. The problem is that we didn't understand it. We didn't know how to perceive what this institution could do to you and what it could do to us. We assumed simply the fact of being black was enough. And too many of us are still lingering with that type of assumption. The goals that we sought, the goals that we now desire, are the types of things that we must work for and we must understand. And we must understand the types of oppositions in which each of us are encountering. Your problem is that you're not from the community. Your problem is that you are partaking in a type of materialism that has yet to be afforded to the black community in which you are part of. Your problem is that the acquisition of your education established a physical and psychological confrontation with the community in which you must identify with. Your problem is that you're living in a dorm that is far better than 99% of the homes in the community where your people live. Your problem is that you're partaking in a form of wealth that the community in which your people live have never seen before. These are the types of contradictions that you must endure to receive an education. And I will repeat, a failure to apply this education in the context of your people, wherever they may be, I think is a failure to live up to your human obligation to meet the needs of your people. So for the student to understand his community, he can make no assumptions. He can make no assumptions that it is a violent community that will not accept him. He can make no assumptions that because he is a first-year student that he is unqualified to go out to that community to help them. He can make no assumptions that the curriculum, the schedule at the university will prohibit him from aligning himself with the people that he's a part of in the community. So as you can begin to see, we the community and you the student has made a great deal of assumptions. But I will emphasize that this is not unique. Throughout America, these assumptions are being made. Not only by you, not only by Northeast Champaign, but whether it be a commuter college, a junior college, a state college, a private college, these assumptions are being made. Why? I think that the answers are somewhat obvious to the black community. I think that the answers to a great degree are somewhat obvious in the context of the black student. Yet there are psychological and social problems in which we, as community people, do not necessarily understand. We don't quite understand how the university affects our people. We don't quite understand how a university can change the emphasis and the direction of a class of people in the acquisition of a degree. These are questions that you must answer in the attainment of this degree. These are problems that you must present to the community and solutions that you must assist them in providing. But we do know for a fact that there are problems. We have problems that are far beyond our history, problems that are far beyond our immediate needs. But we also know, because of the crisis situation in which we are part of in this community, these problems demand an answer. The obligation is just as great upon you as it is upon the black community of Northeastern Champaign and Urbana. What you must understand is that the community needs knowledge. It lacks knowledge. And people who lack knowledge, in many cases, will deal emotionally. It is your obligation to provide them this knowledge, that the conclusions that they draw are conclusions based on facts. You may ask yourself, what will you get out of it? And I say to you as students, the greatest reward that a student can get out of anything, and that is learning. If knowledge is not your reward, you have no business here. And that is the whole context of a student, and that is knowledge. So therefore, the black community offers you the greatest reward that you can accept during this period of your livelihood, and that is to gain and to entertain knowledge, and at the same time to make a commitment to your people, even though they may be in Northeast Champaign, in the southern portion of the state of Illinois, or St. Louis, or wherever you may be. All right, so how do you present this to them? How do you go to a community and present yourself as a black individual and as a black student who's attempting to acquire a bachelor's degree, master's degree, or a doctor's degree in certain subjects? The failure at this university is that the black student body has never done this. The black student body has yet to present its technical resources to its community. The only thing that the student has presented to the community is a social need and assisting the community in developing social programs. And I see people frowning, so I would spend a minute in this. To me, a student is an engineer first, if that happens to be his college, and he's a brother second. You know, we need no black empathy, because I think he will say it, you need no empathy from your instructor, but you want his guidance. You want no empathy from your financial aid officer, you want money. You know, we need no empathy from the black student body, we need technical assistance. Simple. And that don't only apply here, it applies throughout America. When you present yourself only as a brother to your community, you have robbed that community of what you hold dearest. And that is what you're learning over here. And when you refuse to tell the brother, man, I am a junior in civil engineering, and deal with me from that level. When you come only to the brother from a street corner rap, you have prevented the brother from using the knowledge that you're being trained to give. When a sister presents herself to the community only as a woman to be used as an object, and not presenting herself to the community as the professional or paraprofessional in which she's trained to be, she is preventing that community from using her as a social tool to uplift itself. What we have gotten historically, and what black America has gotten historically from the students of America, has been only a social individual, a sister and a brother who can show little kids to do the latest dance, to show little kids how to have parties, but not to show their mothers how to budget their monies, not to show their mothers how to develop home management programs, not to show their fathers how to construct new housing, not to show the neighbors how to develop economic schemes, not to show the community how to develop new educational procedures to teach their children, and the whole facet of information in which this university is preparing white kids and you to go out in America and do. There has been a problem between the student and smaller communities. The student has said the community is unable economically to support me. That may be a fact when you obtain your degree, but you're able to deal with that when you're only a student. You're able to test the community as a professional and not look for compensation. because these are your learning periods. And yet compensation can be given to the student in the form of academic credit, if credit is what you desire. Compensation can be given to the student in the form of the institutional acceptance of his work in the community. Compensation can be given to the student in the form of local, state, and national recognition, if that's what you desire. So inherent in a student's relationship to his community are all of the rewards that Charlie says you can get, and inherent to the service to the black community are some of the rewards in which Charlie says that a community can get that is conscientious and willing to work with people as a means of developing honest programs. So when you begin to look at it, you know, really there's nothing that stands in the way of a community, and there's nothing that stands in the way of a brother from going into that community other than historical and social fear. Fear on the part of that community, fear on the part of the student. But fear is nothing new, because fear has kept us from being free 500 years. Fear is keeping us apart this moment throughout this country and throughout this campus. Fear is a challenge that we shall always face as long as we survive in this world. So fear is nothing new. Fear is the challenge that makes people great. Fear is the challenge that makes individuals successful. So the fear in which the community has of you and the fear in which you have of the community, I believe, are only the vehicles to bring about greatness on the part of the black student body at this institution and the black community of Northeast Champaign and Urbana. All right? Let's talk about the university. Because to me, the university goes beyond simply a place to play pool, drink beer, and party. The university is more than lecture halls, professors, and papers, and books. The university is money. The university is a type of bureaucracy that reflects the society in which it's a part of. Whatever America is, so is the University of Illinois. Whatever our obligations of attaining equality in the society, we will attain them through an institution such as the University of Illinois. The university is more than simply kids going to and from class. It is $300 and some odd million. It is a type of bureaucracy in which our society is. And if you would look at the structure of the CU faculty, our chancellor, our presidents, the people in Cobo Hall, the people who are charged with running this university, so will you find America. The structures of one department, so is the structure of a state department. The structures of local municipality, you know, are founded off the structures of the University of Illinois. The obligations of changing this form of bureaucracy, that you can be able to assist the brothers and sisters throughout America in understanding what they must do to rid themselves of this type of bureaucracy, this is where you're educated to that. You learn it if you're prepared and willing to learn it, or assist by you if you're not willing to see it. So the student, the black student, has an obligation to understand the university far beyond, as I have said, a place to play and a place to pursue a degree. For the university reflects to you the American society, whether you're a two-year student, a four-year student, or a five-year student. That is the amount of time that you have to learn the institution. The black community becomes the place in which you attempt to explain to them how to change it. Your practicum and the interpretation of the institution and what the institution can do to your people as a means of perpetuating the subjugation and the conflicts in which they have. So the university is, in fact, more than an institution. It is your enemy. Is your enemy beyond the question of getting all A's, or a question of getting over, or a question of getting money, or a decent place to stay? It is your enemy because wherever there is a state university, there are poor black people. And these poor black people are here to service you. The people in the kitchens, the bedrooms, throughout this institution are here that you can get a degree. So inherent in capitalism is social inequality. And anybody in political science knows that. Social inequality and capitalism goes hand in hand. The University of Illinois is a capitalistic institution, so there must be social inequality. Northeast Champaign is that social inequality. You are fostering it. It's as simple as that. The kids, the adults, and the community knows this. You know, they may not know it from the context that it is social inequality, you know, adjoining itself with academic white capitalism, but they do know that something is terribly wrong, you know. And you can't hide it because the structure is physical. It looms out and people are able to see it. This is why it becomes increasingly important for you to understand this and to challenge the structure at the level in which you can make the types of sophisticated changes that reflect your people. The black student is faced with a very simple question, a question of making the university relevant, a question of taking it over. Let's think for a moment in the context of takeover. In the early 60s, takeover of universities was a good rap. From the standpoint is that it brought to consciousness a type of sleepy Negro who refused to understand what was being done to him in America. A Negro who awoken and needed excitement. A Negro who woken and needed a challenge. And so the cry of university takeover became significant, but yet very difficult to achieve because, as I said before, inherent in the University of Illinois is white America. This is why the state police will come to the campus, local police officers, and if necessary, the National Guard. Because America must protect itself. And those are the principles that represent America. So, you know, so don't get hung up when you see a National Guardman, because this is still the property of America and fostering the American dream. And you must understand that you are a part of that dream, you know. And this is an individual question. No community can change that. I think the speaker prior to me said that, you know, college students, particularly black college students, don't owe the black community nothing. I would like to take 5 minutes and get very angry and say he's a goddamn lie. This program, the CIOP program, which is now called the EIOP program, an integration of black students since 1967 in the American institutions are the result of a lot of black kids being killed. Maybe you didn't know, maybe you would have never known them. But they got killed for you and for me. You know, Dr. King got ripped off. He didn't know you, you didn't know him. So when someone tells you that you're here out of your own personal efforts, he told you a goddamn lie. And that's only a perpetuation of an illusion to keep you separated. You have an obligation only to your people. And that obligation is seen through you. You know, we have gotten fucked up in this society because we have allowed ourselves to be polluted. In the times of social crisis, for an example, we are now experiencing in America the whole question of women's equal rights. Women are entitled to be equal. The questions that a white woman faces in her society for equality is different than the questions that a black woman faces in her society for equality. The white woman has a legitimate argument. She has been treated as a subhuman being. She has been denied an equal voice and equal control from her opposite sex. But that's not the case in our side of the fence. And yet, our women are busily hollering about equality and allowing that rap by white women to turn them over, and brothers ain't even working. You know, brothers can't get a job, and now sisters are saying, I want the gig before a brother gets it. We're not men. And any woman who wants to be more than her man is a damn fool. Be equal. You can't be equal until we're free. So the whole question of the context of black women equality must be in the perspective of the equality of your man. And once your man has obtained the same level as a white man, then you got a right to be free. A white woman can demand this because her man is free. We ain't. That's a simple fact. You can say because we're lazy. You can say because we don't want nothing. You can say that we're unwilling to meet the obligations to get it. That's untrue, but I won't argue that point with you. But I would say do not allow, you know, the social context of another ethnic group to confuse and to dilute your purpose. This has happened to us too many times. Throughout the history of black people, and the whole questions of our slavery, there was another question. And this question was always used to dilute black people, always used to take our mind off of our purpose. You know, we have a unique, specific purpose that cannot be found in any other ethnic group in America. Because the American Indian has a unique, specific purpose that can't be found among us. You know, the Mexican has a purpose that cannot be found among us. whites have a purpose that cannot be found among us. Those whites who are being deprived of their rights and deprived of their lives have an equal purpose, but it is not found among us. Their answer cannot be found among us. Our answer must be found among ourselves. This we must understand. You are a student, but you are a black student. Therefore, your obligations are different. What is incumbent upon a white student is not necessarily incumbent upon you, and the obligation is yours to understand this. You know, you must be successful, you must be able to compete academically. But what another student does is not what you should do. And this is where we sometimes get lost on the track, simply because we have not established a collective purpose. And you're not going to establish a collective purpose if you listen only to the doctrine of the university. Because the university is not about the business of establishing collective black purposes. They're about the business of giving you a degree and making you lose what you are as a black person to get it. And there are very few blacks who are academically successful and yet are black. This is a simple fact. You cannot study. You cannot do what the white man wants you to do and at the same time maintain a high esteem and obligation to your people. It's just a contradiction. You know, you cannot live all of your 4 years on the south side of university and yet have an emotional and political obligation to the blacks on the north side of university. It just don't work like that, you know. You cannot hope to work in uptown Chicago and yet be obligated to the blacks on the south side of Chicago. You know, I don't know if somebody's telling you that. It don't work like that. But let's talk about, not in the context of a black student, let's talk about in the context of a professional. Professionalism is becoming irrelevant. Problems in societies are not being dealt with by professionalism. The paraprofessional, you know, the indigenous worker, is vastly looming ahead of the professional individual. What the social worker done 5 years ago, can now be done by an old lady who cannot read and write her name. What the clinical psychologist done 5 years ago can now be done by any jab brother on the street corner. What the school teacher done 5 years ago can now be done by anybody, you know. What the black in recreation, you know, sociology, psychology done 5 years ago can now be done by anybody. The reason is that our needs are not being taught. The people to challenge and to resolve our problems are not professionals. So I don't care if you look at yourself in the context of a black student, black professional, or professional. Professionals are on their way out. And 99% of the kids in LAS will have a bitter awakening upon graduation. You'll find out, really, you're not needed, you know. Because the brother on the street corner who's got better rapport than you got can deal better than you. And all you got is a degree. So why do they need you? To put into a black community a black professional? Uh-uh. It don't work like that. Where is your practical experience? What would you tell a white man you've been doing 4 years, drinking beer and studying? No, man, I'm just telling you the truth, you know. What makes you any more qualified than a brother who's lived in a community for 20 years, you know, who knows every person on the block, who knows how they feel, when they hurt, why they hurt, and who knows how to deal with it? What do you got that brother ain't got? I'll answer that question for you, nothing. Who will you tell a man you've worked with in the pursuit of your education? Nobody, see, nobody. And yet, your counterpart, your white student, you know, is desperately seeking practical experience. Your counterpart is eagerly seeking black communities to work in, but you are not. You're being left behind again. By the numbers of whites that are sitting in this room, and probably a part of this class, should tell you something. The numbers of whites that are in African studies should tell you something. The numbers of whites who are seeking to become knowledgeable about this new Negro should tell you something. The numbers of whites who are seeking for practical experience in your black community should tell you something. What it should tell you is not only will he continue to be your master as a professional, he shall continue to be the master of your people. Because not only is he probably a better academic student, he went down and sit in the ghetto with him, and you didn't. See? And when it comes time to give reference, he will give that reference, and you will have none. It's as simple as that. Now, you can think I'm lying to you, but it's no damn lie. You know, you can think I'm joking you, but there's no joke. And the people in Northeast Champaign and Urbana, which are your people, are making a hell of a lot of experts out of your counterparts. See, while you breeze through here, doing nothing, ceasing to be relevant to yourselves, to the institution, and to the people that you're part of. And that's a form of reality. So I think that should have some type of significance to you because you want to be professional people. And going back to the concept of a student, that any individual who turns his back on knowledge and is a student is a damn fool. It's simple than that, you know. You're being beat out again. You cannot blame the community, because the community is in such dire need that any professional who has competence about himself is needed. A woman who has no house to stay in is willing for anyone to build her a house, whether he be a white man, black man, brown man, or yellow man. Children who cannot read are not too particular about those who teach them to read. Mothers who do not know how to buy groceries are not too particular about who can teach them to save money. People who have never had decent furniture are not particular about those who can show them how to acquire it. Children with psychological problems, their parents are not really particular about those who can resolve those problems. So you ain't being copped out. Nobody's tricking you, you know. The black folks in the community ain't playing you off on white folks. You're playing yourself off. It's simple as that. This does not only apply to this community, it applies to all of the communities throughout America. That you're sitting down on your ass and you're losing probably the only time in your life that you'll have to learn and to be of any advantage to somebody. And that's your 4 years or whatever your time is as a student. Upon graduation, you are of no advantage. You know, who needs a man with a doctor's degree, you know, working with him, and he don't even know how to set up a community school, but he got a degree in education. Who needs that? Who needs a black professional who's never been in a ghetto? And there are some who've never been there. Who needs a black person who can't talk to black people, but yet he's got a master's degree and he's the head of the agency? You know, that becomes ethnic inner politics, and niggas get killed over that. Because you're dealing at a human level. And the problem with black folks are, and the good thing about it, is that we have to deal with each other on a personal level, not on an institutional level. You know, when the University of Illinois flunked you out, who do you shoot? The university? No. You can't shoot the professor because he told you it wasn't under him. It was the department head, the committee. You know. But black people have to deal with each other on a personal level. You know. This is personal politics on our part. Whatever our struggle is, it's on a personal level. And because you are dealing on a personal level, the crises are far greater. The potential for hostility is always there. The potential for destruction is always there. And this is something that you must understand. And in the context of the university is wealth. It's a type of wealth and tool that you must understand to begin to apply to social problems, you know. For an example, the agricultural department represents millions of dollars, and yet black people are still growing gardens in their backyards. You know, it's an example, you know. You, as black students, 1,000 of you, represent more trained people than Champaign County has, you know, as blacks, to deal with a multifaceted social problem. So the army existing in this community for social change are you, you know, because you is the key to this institution's wealth. Back behind you is the money, the faculties, the laboratories, the classrooms, the books, the consultants, the state, and the nation. That's what you got, nigga, behind you. And you should demand that he put it on the line. The money, the classrooms, the faculties, the laboratories, you know, the departments, the colleges, the state. Because when the Agricultural Extension Division goes out to some rural town, that's what's behind them. Why are you any different than they are, your students? That's what you can bring to the black community. Now, the community doesn't know that in that broader context, but that's what you represent. You represent the 300 some odd million dollars gross value of this university per year. You represent each building. You represent all of its technical expertise. It is your obligation to use it. It is your obligation to call upon the black faculty and white faculty to assist you in understanding it, that you can use it better. And that's what a university is. It's not really a place to play. Not really a place to find a husband, or even for a brother to find a wife. It's a place to study. It's a place to change. It's a place to bring about rapid change. Revolution is a bad word now, but it's a place to bring about rapid change. And rapid change can be brought about if you're willing to use your university and look at it as something more than a union building and a lounge, all right? I've talked a little bit about the black professional and his community, but let's go into a little bit more detail. In 1966, I was fortunate enough to be asked to speak before the Agrarian Institute in Chicago to deliver a paper on the whole concepts of the non-professional. At that time, I was rapping what I call the indigenous expert and the struggle of the indigenous expert versus the professional. And I was attempting to point out that there was, in fact, a revolution going on in America in the whole fields of social services, that this revolution was between the non-professional and the professional, that it crossed color lines, that the indigenous expert was not concerned with the color of the professional, but was concerned with the quality of services. They laughed at me and thought I was crazy, but that was in 1966. And if you are in social work or know anyone in social work, they will tell you that they do get shot at. They do get beat up, you know, and they don't go out into the ghettos, you know, because what they were able to do 10 years ago, they cannot do now, because the vast black poor populations resent them and see that they're only the type of extension no better than the police department. They are the extension of the system that is suppressing them. All right, so let's talk about the role of the black professional in the black community, because this graduating class of black students and those that will graduate next year, next year, and next year, each succeeding year that you will graduate, you will endure a greater challenge than no black generation has ever endured before you. So you better dig on that, you know. You can wear the same kind of clothes, do the same hairdo, and live on the same blocks. But the types of social pressures that you will endure have yet to be endured by any other black professional or any other professional class in America, you know. The brothers on the street corners are waiting on you. You know, and I'm not saying this to be facetious, this is true. You have to know how to deal with them. You have to know how not to pacify, but to make a change. Because professionalism is the art of working oneself out of business, not the working oneself into it. A social worker who wants to remain a social worker all their lives should be ripped off. Because this is a woman or a man who's saying, I always want poor people around me, because poor people need social workers. A psychologist who wants to be a psychologist all of his life is saying, I always want crazy people, you know, because without crazy people, there's no need for me. So I think that the true definition of a professional is one who seeks to work himself out of business. I don't care what color he is, I don't care where he's at, you know. Now, a black professional is different from the professional societies of America. To be a black school teacher does not mean that you're part of the American Teachers Association. What their direction is must be different from yours. To be a black social worker does not mean that you're part of the national NSAW chapter of this country, because what white social workers are about the business of doing, you can't do and survive. Unless you want to live your life locked up with five locks on your doors, three locks on your front doors, scared to go to sleep because somebody's going to steal your car, scared to go to work because somebody's going to break into your apartment and steal your color television set, scared to turn around. Now, don't say it ain't true, because this is what black professionals in Chicago must endure. Those blacks who have been fortunate enough to get out of the ghetto but move to a better neighborhood are being fed upon by the brothers who are following them. You know, that's all you do. You know, you just follow the brother with money. See, when he turns his back, steal from him. See, So it ain't, you know, it ain't the question, you ain't gonna escape it, because I can't escape it, you know. See, what does it matter? You get killed because a man was shooting at you, or he was shooting at somebody else, but he moved his hand 5 inches and the bullet hit you, you know. You're dead anyway. You get robbed because you're a black professional and you're not making a commitment, or you get robbed because you're a black professional and you are making a commitment. What is the difference? The difference is how you must deal with it personally, you know. Now, black people are in the urban centers of America, locked behind closed doors at night. Black professionals are in the urban centers of America, you know, unwilling, you know, to intermix with the needs of their people. Why? Because the universities in which they graduated from did not prepare them to do this. It's as simple as that. They have nothing in common with them, you know. They have nothing in common any longer. They get up in the morning, they go to a ghetto school, they teach school, they get their money, and they go home. They don't give a damn if they never see their parent. They're not going out to Cabrini Apartments to talk to any parent about any educational problems that some black child is having, you know. Dig it, simple as that. They fear Cabrini Apartments worse than a white man does. You know, dig it, it's true, you know. Black professionals ain't a bit more going down Douglas Center than, you know, anywhere else, you know. That's the reality, see. So ain't no sense you telling yourself you're going to do this. Because all of a sudden you're going to realize is that in the attainment of a degree, you lost your confidence in your people and yourself. You know. And when you get that degree, you're going to realize that you're a stark naked black person. See, ain't no working downtown for you either. Downtown jobs are only for white kids with degrees. You must be a field worker, bro. Sus. You will work in your own neighborhood. No, you know, that's a fact. If I was a white man and I was obligated to provide services to blacks, why would I put a white kid out there and not you? Hmm? You know, it's as simple as that. If you got a notion of going uptown, there ain't no uptowns. This is why you're here. Didn't you realize that? You're here because of the crisis in the urban centers. You are the people to go back and resolve those crises. You know, that's what you're being trained for, to go back to the Cabrini Apartments, to go back to the worst neighborhoods of Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, or wherever you like. So then you begin to see how important any community becomes if you can use that community as a practicum. Because violence exists in Northeast Champaign, racial discrimination, polarization, you know, the whole question of political socialization exist there. The same conclusions that you will draw on any block in Chicago, you can draw on Northeast Champaign. The same methodologies of resolving those social conflicts, you can draw on Northeast Champaign. What the brothers are doing in Harlem, they're doing in Northeast Champaign, only on a smaller scale. It wouldn't matter if we were in the SIU, it'd be the same situation in Carbondale. It wouldn't matter if we were in the Circus campus, it would be that black community near to it. So it isn't a question of where the community is located. The issue is to use it as the educational experience. That's what I'm trying to say to you. All right. You must understand as a black professional and accept that you're not important. Professionals, particularly the black professional, is obligated to his community. He is only an agent of the community. The polarization and class stratification that exists between the professional societies of America and the classes of America are there for distinct purposes. A doctor must be important if he is to charge exorbitant figures and to manipulate his patients. A school teacher must have importance if society is to place upon him a high esteem. But what makes a school teacher important? To 4 years and getting a degree? No, the mystique of professionalism. That's all, the mystique of professionalism. What I say to you, as a professional, the mystique is in the class you seek to serve. Those that are precious are those you want to help. You are their agent, not they your agent. They are the people who call the shots, not you calling the shot. You may have a problem that you may go work for an agency that is 8 to 5. Beautiful. That means you start working for that community 6 to 10. You know, because your only protection are the people you seek to serve. If you're working with public aid recipients and you're going to challenge the supervisor, who else is there to protect you but your 200 clients, to say if you fire this man, we'll tear this son of a bitch down? Who are to protect you but the people that you're trying to protect? But when you allow the mystique of the system to prevent you from working with those people, then you ain't got no protection. You're at the mercy of that supervisor. And besides that, you're black. See, don't you realize that? Same situation here at the University of Illinois. What is your protector? Who protects you? Nobody. You know, when you really come to think of it, you got no protectors. You dig it? The community doesn't protect you because, you know, there's a great deal of hatred and animosity. You cannot call upon a community for any assistance. There's no black faculty here to protect you. No black administrators here to protect you. You cannot protect yourselves. You're at the mercy of any crazy TA, GA, associate professor, or any head of any department. You know, you're at their mercy. You can write a 35-page paper, you can throw it back at you and say, that ain't what I want. And what can you do? You know, you can appeal to a white committee who could say, do it like he said, or get out. So who protects you? Nobody. Who will protect you in your place of employment if you allow the break between you and your clients to exist? If you believe that rap between your obligation as a part of the professional class, who will protect you? No one. See, you know, you don't have to believe it. No one. You're an isolated individual who can only find assurance in the dark, who can only find comfort in the bright places of your metropolitan area at night, you know. And don't say it isn't true, because other blacks who have been through what you're going through now are now doing what I'm just describing to you. So then your protector is, in fact, your community, you know, who you are the agent for, regardless of what kind of agent you are. A pursuit which is contradictory to the needs of that community, you begin to see the possibilities of hostility between you and your clientele. Because some brother, some sister may be hip enough to realize what you're doing to them, see? And that possibility always exists for a black person. That once you put on a suit and tie and take the check, that somebody may be hip enough to understand what Charlie got you doing, and he may shoot you, see? As long as that possibility is there, you are in danger unless you are the servant of your class. That is the professional's obligation. That is your relationship to your community. That carries me back to my initial proposition of the role, the educational role, that the black community at this campus can play for you. Because inherent in all of these propositions that I put before you, I believe, is the answer. It's a practical answer that has within it an educational purpose. It's an ethnic answer, because they are your people. It's a political answer, because we will continue to struggle. Once you get your degree, or if you drop out and don't obtain it, the struggle won't end tomorrow, it won't end next year. You must play a part of it, as a professional, as a student, or simply as a black individual. Also inherent in the proposition is your role as a student. And, as I said before, it only happens to be that you're in this community, and I'm a part of this community, but you can put yourself anywhere. Practicum, or utilization of a black community as practicum, you can do it anywhere in the state of Illinois. You don't have to come to Northeast Champaign. You can go to Chicago, Kankakee, Decatur, Peoria, Danville, East St. Louis. Black people are there. You can demand the right to use that community as a practicum. Let me give you a very frightening analysis of what is happening to black people, students and community, you know, by students of a university. An instructor gives a paper, and he asks, I would like a paper done on black organizations, all right? For two reasons. Because he's heard that niggas have just started a new organization and don't nobody know what it is, you know. So what's the best way of doing that? And that is to use the student as the FBI. Because the student thinks he's doing what the good old instructor wants him to do, but in fact what the student has just done was walked into them niggas' room, listened to them niggas talk strategy, wrote it down in a paper, and gave it to the white man for an A. Is that not true?
It's true.
You know, it's done all the time. And yet have I saw or seen a student who have come to Northeast Champaign and says, I want to do my thesis on my own people and give you the conclusions. Because it's a need that have not been questioned. You have a problem that you have not resolved. I am a professional in this area. And if I am to write a term paper, why should I not write it on this area? And demand that this paper be given to your own people. Yeah. You see the simple logic, the obligation, the educational obligation that you have, that you don't fulfill? So in a large context, black people, non-students, non-professionals, have a legitimate beef when they say the black student ain't relevant. You know, that's to be factual. But not only are you not relevant as black students, you're not relevant as students. And that's the truth. And I'm not saying that derogatorily. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to excite you emotionally. It is simply the damn truth. Because any student who is concerned about learning will challenge it. You know, when I listen to black students say, I want to learn how to get over, and that is to write one paper and give it to five instructors, he has cheated himself and his people. Because the white man may let you out of this college, but you still can't read and write. And somewhere along the line, you will endanger a great many of your own people's lives. So who did you trick? You know, if you ain't capable of dealing, get your bags and go home. Go on back to junior college. Not because you're in Northeast Champaign, because once you get that degree, some black people will be relying on you, and you just may put them in a trick. You know, so the white man know that you ain't hurting him. When you submit a paper and your spelling ain't right, you know you plagiarized the paper. Who you tricking? You didn't trick him. See, you tricked yourselves. You know, you the damn fools. You know. Because when it comes time to go to work, when it comes time to be used by people, someone will see through you. And you'll spend the rest of your life in Macy's selling women drawers. You know. No, it's you know, this happens. You know. So who you tricking? Just like when I was in high school, I used to copy from the cat next to me, you know, we used to play tunk, you know, play checkers, steal, you know, see white kids come down the halls, take their money, you know, run outside the school building, you know, and here I am. See, no dough, no nothing. See. So who did that trick? You know, nobody. Who did I get over on? Nobody. See. So when a black student comes 800 miles to indulge in that form, you know, of social insanity, then he is not only a disgrace to himself, he is a disgrace to every black person in America and the world. See, because he's dealing on his own people. And when a black community refuses to accept you as a black professional, they are a disgrace to themselves and to every other black community. So inherent in that black community, that student, that university, that black professional, and that black community is not only a professional, academic, intellectual, but is a moral obligation and a political obligation. And they are all tied together. There have been a great many people speaking about a great many subjects in this series. All of these subjects, those subjects could have been tested in Northeast Champaign. Community control, the black church, you know, this, you know, the part of the series that I'm a part of, the curriculum, you know, all of these can be tested in your black community, you know. It doesn't matter if John Lee Johnson was born there, you know. It doesn't matter if he's born under Mamie Johnson and Tom Johnson, you know. They're your mother and father too. Because in your hometown, your mother and father is my mother and father, you know. No distinction. Your people is my people, see. If you're prepared to deal on the people in Northeast Champaign at that level, then they are your people, see. Because your community is wherever you at. There's no such thing as a nigga being a Chicagoan or me being a Champaign, see. I don't own nothing here. You don't own nothing in Chicago. You know, Chicago belongs to Mayor Daley and people like him. You happen to be there because they need minority service workers. You know, simple as that. You know, to say you own something means it belongs to you. And let's be honest, we don't own nothing in this country. So when a nigga says, this ain't my home, what does he mean? You know, in actuality, what does he mean? Because where is your home? Because when you find it, tell me, because I want to go with you. Because I've been looking for my home and ain't found it. So your home is wherever you and people like yourself are at. See, you have to get out of this geographical distinction. You own no land, you own nothing. We are the black people who are building a revolution, who are to achieve freedom for ourselves and for white people too. White people are enslaved worse than we are. The only difference is that they are over us, but they are enslaved in the process of enslaving us. To free yourself is to free them. And if you really open up your mind, the whole world is contingent upon your abilities to free yourself. Because the future of the world is interdependent upon you. You know, as simple as that. If you believe the concept of middle classism in a capitalistic society, then you are the strength of America. Is that not a fact? The middle class are in fact the strength of America. It will be upon you that America will call upon in a capitalistic society. If you're willing to stand there for America, God knows you ought to be willing to stand there for yourself and your own people. You know, that's simple facts. You know, I believe that what we're about the business in this country of doing is not necessarily destroying the basic fibers of America, but is achieving an equal voice that we can decide where America goes and where the world goes. I'm going to conclude, not because I'm tired of talking, but because there are other things that are going on, and you should get out of here and get into that. You know, there is no need for a concluding statement. You know, this is the end of this rap. If there's any questions, we can deal with them. Are there any questions? Well, I'm lucky man. Yeah, Brother Hannibal.
No, I just like to ask that one, sort of yourself, just in relationship to the whole series. I haven't seen that much of it myself. You know, maybe watching the unvoiced. But I think that the whole question that you raised about the, you know, I guess the, what you call it, the professional versus the non-professional, and I think that that's a very, very good point. But the thing that kind of cracks me up, I think, is the nail on the head, is like, and I just had a chance to look at the structural outlay of the series on paper. And I know it's the, what do you call it, the vast number of persons who have degrees, whether you PhD degrees, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me, you know, that, you know, it's really belittling you, you know, on the parts of the parties who brought into being the series. When you look at that structure, you know, then it says all of a sudden, one, we just gonna, just by chance or whatever it is, bring a brother in who don't possess a PhD degree or whatever it may be in terms of degree to come in and give it a final touch. Now, I sort of, you know, I'm along that old socialist kind of line, if you're gonna talk about, you know, from each according to his ability, then it seems to me we ought to talk about to each according to his need. You know what I'm talking about? So if you're going to talk about some people giving the thing the final touch, it would seem to me that the final touch would warrant also, you know, equal money in terms of that. That's perfect.
Right on, bro.
I'm saying it from personal. I'm campaigning for myself. See, I'm only saying it because if we're going to have all them people coming here theorizing, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about PhD theory. I say that because I got one myself, you see. And all the things you talk about, I've been browbeating people for the last 12 years, you see, to try to get them to comply, you know, 100% with what you're talking about. And I'm only saying what I'm saying to say that it baffles me that people could say that now we're going to finalize a series by having a brother to really give it the practical touch. And it seems to me that you would have had an equal number of brothers coming from the practical side as you would coming from the theoretical side so at least people could see a balance, you see, rather than you have a proportionate number of people coming in with fear.
I think the only answer to that, Brother Hannibal, is that the series is in its infinite stage. And I made a comment, and I think Brother Strong, you know, as he related prior to this rap, that there has been some dough to continue the series. And I would think that all of the brothers and sisters and the other students in this class, that these are the types of recommendations and suggestions in which you should be making, being that you have heard all of these goddamn lectures. You know? And you know, you are the people who have been talked to throughout this semester. So I think that Brother Strong and his department is eager, I would believe, to entertain any recommendations to bring the knowledge that the people who will stand before you, closer to you, to help you entertain that knowledge. But I dig where you're coming from. But you have to understand that the universities, conceptually, don't say they're gonna make you out of anything. You know, the university ain't guarantee no one in here a job. It owes you nothing. The obligation is yours. And this is difficult for black students because they didn't come in here with discipline, you know. And because they don't have discipline, it's hard for them to pursue that obligation on their own, you know. A white student can do it because he has been instilled this discipline. And you must understand, you ain't sitting with the run-of-the-mill white kids, you know. And some brothers get hung up on that because they see young white kids with holes in their pants and long hair and without bras, you know, they think that this is the lower run of the mill. I want you to know that this is the best this state and this country's got to offer.
And you just slump.
Right. And when brothers feel they can come out to the same bag, you can get lost, you know, because you're dealing with across the board 29 ACT who came out of the best high schools of America. You came out of ghetto schools. Some of you never even saw a practicum, I mean a biology class. You know, we used to stand out there in the play area and talk on brothers who had biology books. Where this jab coming from, trying to be white with a biology book, you know, across the board, 67 CI program represented about an 18 composite score. You were dealing with 29s, you know. How in the hell are you gonna walk into a 600 student lecture, you know, and deal? See, you got no time to pussyfoot. You got no time to court, make love, or do nothing but to be up in your dormitory studying. We are not even properly utilizing our own resources. The graduate students are not being used as they should. You know, and there are a lot of black kids who are highly intelligent. If you look where they're at, comparative education, we no longer need that field in America. You know, look where some of our most intelligent black resources are at our American universities in dead-end curriculums. Compare the numbers of black kids in medicine as opposed to the numbers of whites. But you can't count the black kids in political science, sociology, and psychology. What you're saying to America is that we are a highly insane class of people. And you want to hurry up and get your degree in psych to get out there and help us. We ain't crazy, we just poor. You know. What we need are doctors, lawyers, dentists. You know, this is what we need. We don't need nobody with a political science degree. We got more political science degrees than any other ethnic group in America, poor proportion. Do y'all realize that? We got more niggas with degrees in education than any other ethnic group in America for a proportion of people. Yet we don't teach ourselves. You know, we can't start revolutions. We don't even know a simple form of municipal government. You know. But yet everybody's copping a degree in political science. You know, comparative education. What are these things to be used for? How many black kids is in computer engineering? How many black kids is in biochemistry? How many black kids is going to medical school? This is where America, you know, that's what runs ITT, you know. You better believe that the president of ITT did not get a degree in education, nor of General Motors.